We are going to take questions, but as we're doing that, Judy's going to pass the hat. We also have a donation box over here. As a member of the Pachyderm, I want to encourage you to help these people, help this lady. She's paying for her own gas. Nobody's sponsoring her. So if you can help us, that would be good. We're going to take questions. We're not going to take speeches. I'd like to have a speech too, you know, but I've got a lot of things I could say. If you have a question, we're going to ask you to come to the front and ask the question because we're taping this. So we'll take questions, not speeches, and you can come to the microphone.
My question is, are you able to go into the universities and talk to the actual education departments in order to present the case against Common Core to the education majors and to the future teachers to start cutting it off at the root of the PEO? Because, so we can fight Common Core not only as parents, but also try to change the course of the teachers.
What's really interesting, that is an awesome question, by the way, because the teachers actually haven't been trained in Common Core yet. And part of the high cost to our state is this professional development cost. The Pioneer Institute estimates that the cost to the state of Montana is going to be around $40 million, and that could be the tip of the iceberg. So right now, they haven't been taught that, but they have been taught these behavioral modification tools, and they've been taught all these other things. The universities are on board with this program, as they have been with all the past programs. So we're going to have to educate the university boards before we can actually get the teacher training stopped.
Deb, I do a lot of reading, so I can't tell whether this is black helicopter or not, but there is a psychological test that's given to first graders and kindergartens, and there's no opting out for homeschools or parochial schools or anything like that. Is that true?
In Montana, I'm not aware of anyone being administered the test unless it's voluntary. Has that happened to you, where they've wanted to do that test?
They haven't yet in Montana, but I believe it has happened in other states.
Yeah, other states. It's happening in other states. One of the reasons Melissa and her family moved to Montana is because we have one of the better homeschool lack of rules. But that's short-lived, obviously, and that's why she's so concerned and so involved and so willing to work with parents, because we're about to lose that opportunity. But yes, they are doing that, and that is the ultimate implication of all of this, is they're going to do the same thing here. Every child has to be in the system. Every child. You cannot run a human capital, you know, resource center and not have every child in it.
Thank you for coming forward.
In light of a couple of clauses in the Montana Constitution, the privacy clause, and also the clause for quality education, would there be any grounds to file some sort of injunction against Common Core?
The legal ramifications are some of the things that we're looking into, because I think that we can attack this on several grounds, not only from our state constitution, but also from the federal, because having nationalized education breaks three federal laws, and our state constitution, I think, does protect us from that. And I further think that our state board of education implementing a national standard is outside of their bounds. It's a state's rights sovereignty issue. So we are actually looking into the legal possibilities here.
Do you want to comment briefly on the Attorney General's position that you mentioned this afternoon?
Well, actually, we've talked to them several times, and their hands are really tied, because he's the attorney for the state. And so what would happen is we have to file a suit before he would even have to respond to it or be involved. And it's not that he wouldn't want to help us, but it's he would have to look and say, well, did we, the state, do something wrong? And then how could we correct that?
some of us have been very, very busy getting these petitions signed, being sent, which would give the governor some clout to say, hey, with this, these, if we can get thousands of petitions signed now, and I have it online now, too, mm-hmm. and I've been sending that out, and and I did it myself, and it even came back in affirmation. It works really well.
Oh, good.
So that's, and I didn't hear anything about that. It's one way that we can make our voice heard is to get these petitions signed, and then the governor, the attorney general, would have some clout and say, "Hey, there are thousands of Montanans mm-hmm. who don't want this. Come on, let's do something." Is that right?
He may, but again, I think it really has to come from the people, either a school board, or a superintendent, or parents. We need to have someone who is directly impacted by it to bring a suit.
So in other words, I'm wasting my time.
It's never a waste of time, because when you let public officials know where you stand on something, they know that it's a big issue. And that's why we're sending it to...
One of the things I like about Common Core, and I really love Common Core. I do. And this is why. Because this time we get a chance to talk to Mama about her kids. And we've got so much apathy going on. This is an opportunity for us to become community organizers and take a page out of the left's book.
Mm-hmm. Dag Hansen and I went to a meeting that the guest was the superintendent of School District 2. And through some questioning and answering with him, we found out that the technology levy for School District 2 was to comply with Common Core. And that wasn't on the ballot, but Dag and I asked him some questions about why can't they be more specific on the ballot language so that we know what the money's going for? And they said they cannot do that. The law doesn't allow them to specify. All I can do is say the money may or may not go to this cause. Hmm. And so when you vote on these things, they can and they may use the money for something else. And maybe this question is better left to you know a lot about the subject too, but maybe our legislators as well, is yeah. Why can't we pin them down on making them use the money for what's on the ballot?
There are also non-voted on levies that can be implemented.
I'm Representative Kerry Smith from House District 55 here in Yellowstone County. They don't want to be specific because they don't want you to know. You know, and they talk about all the time wanting parents informed to know about it and to have you involved. They really don't. They really believe that they know what's right for us and our kids, and whether we like it or not, they're going to force it on us. I carried the legislation for the last two sessions to fight the comprehensive sex education that's taken place in Montana. You probably heard about it. It's been implemented in Helena. And it's a type of sex education where they're really not teaching you physiology, biology, and anatomy. They're teaching you attitude. They're teaching you the way you're supposed to feel about it, the way you're supposed to accept it, which is not in it doesn't agree with what most of us have believed from a traditional Christian standpoint. It's a whole separate set of moral values. And what you find out is when you stand up, when you're in the legislature, and you say, you know, go ahead and teach what you want. Just let me know about it so my kids don't have to be involved. They throw a fit. They absolutely go nuts. They think you're crazy. They treat you like a nut. They tell you that why wouldn't you want to be involved in something that's scientifically proven to be correct? And, you know, maybe you're an involved parent, but what about all the rest of the kids where the parents aren't involved? You know what it takes? It takes a whole village to raise a child. They actually said that when I have my bills when I'm up there. So anyway, what happens, and you're talking about petitions to the governor to get him to understand, you know, and the comprehensive sex ed is going to be part of Common Core. We know that because that's the kind of values, the kind of attitudes that they want you to have. Well, twice the governors have vetoed my bill. Bullock vetoed it. Schweitzer vetoed it. We had a bill that would have been a legislative referendum that would have let you vote on it. Now, you know, Debbie was saying this is not a Republican, it's not a Democrat issue. The reason why you will not be able to vote on that in 2014 on the ballot is because we have some Republicans in the Senate in this particular case that decided that they wanted to align with the Democrats, and they didn't think that you had the right to make a decision on what you think your kids ought to be taught. So that's what you're up against in government. They don't want you to have a voice. They don't want you to know what's going on. They're going to make it really, really very difficult. So not only do you have to be really informed about what's happening, you have to be really informed about your legislators, how they're voting, what they're voting for, who they are. Having that R behind their name doesn't necessarily make them a conservative person. And, you know, again, the argument I would continually make, you know, is if you think this is great, go ahead. Teach your kid that. Let me opt out. They don't want you opting out. They want to take our children away from us and teach them to be, you know, nice little people that go along with whatever they're told to be. Debbie's talking about the core curriculum and what and the testing. They're trying to. They're not really necessarily trying to figure out if your kid's going to be a good mathematician or a good engineer. They're trying to figure out if your kid has the social values that's going to make him work right in government, in business, and all these other things, so they can have total control over us. That's what you're up against. So that's why the parents have to become involved. If we want a ballot initiative to stop Common Core, you know, we can try to do that in the legislature, but I can't guarantee we'll get it through. We have a problem with that on quite a number of social issues that get stopped because we don't have enough conservatives in the legislature. So that might be something we also do, too, is look at a ballot initiative that lets us say, no, we don't want to do Common Core. But, you know, the reason why I got up here, the question is, can't we make him do what they said they were going to do? You know, can we make a president follow the Constitution? No. Can we make a governor do what the legislature passes? No. The point is, we've got the wrong people serving in those offices. We can't change this until we get rid of those folks that are just going to ignore us and ignore the legislature.
Thank you, Carrie.
If this is a federal mandate, a UN mandate, why would the federal government ever allow any state to opt out? And if they do get to opt out, then what happens to them?
If they received money, they've got to pay the money back. That's the first step. They're looking at that right now because one state right now has it on hold. It hasn't been fully repealed in any state yet. So we're yet to see what repercussions are going to come from that. But I'm sure it won't be pretty. Indiana. Well, they may not. It hasn't gone that far. They're at a state level right now. Oh, four states did refuse. But Texas was one of them, and they have another version of it called C-Scope, which is just as bad. So, sure.
We got this legislator all fired up here.
Doesn't take much to get me fired up. Several years ago, Utah tried to get out of No Child Left Behind, and they passed legislation to do it. And the club that the federal government uses is they said, we're going to take and cut off your funding. You know, and so we'll say, well, fine, go ahead and do that. Do you know how much of our funding for the state comes from the federal government in Montana? It's 40%. It's over 40%. So when we start talking about a budget that, you know, is several billion dollars and we talk about cutting that back 40%, we have not learned how to maintain self-reliance in Montana. We are not self-reliant in Montana anymore. We're dependent upon the federal government. So it's just like Medicaid expansion. When we fought that, they kept saying, well, you're nuts. Why wouldn't we take that free money from the federal government? Why would we do that to our state? Well, those of us that are conservatives will do it to our state because we don't want to be dependent upon the federal government. But, you know, we had so many people line up ready to take that money and want it that that's where we've lost control in the states. The federal government can't make us do anything. We've had Supreme Court decisions on that where they said that You know, they can coerce you a little bit. They can threaten to take away your funding. They can take away a portion of it, but they can't make you enforce the laws. We found that with the Brady Bill. We also found that with Obamacare. They told us that they can't make the states expand Medicaid if we don't want to. Well, right now we've got about 25 states that are going to do it. We've got Republican governors that are lined up because they want the money. We had Republicans in the state legislature lined up. We had a huge fight to try to stop it. I don't know that we actually have stopped it. We did for this past session, but the governor didn't like it. Business didn't like it. The hospitals didn't like it. That's how they control us. The federal government controls us with money, and we have our hands out. And until we can learn to be self-reliant and say, no, we don't want it, that's how they can stop that power. So you're right. They're not going to let us do it. But we can stop it if we can say no. So when you hear people say the Republican Party can't be the party of no, yes, we can. And we better start saying no a lot.
Good question. This is all about making the compliant international worker. That's why big business is on board. Questions?
I just recently applied to get my master's in communications from a well-known Catholic university, and they did not want to accept the GRE. They wanted to accept the test that would measure my attitudes, my values, and my beliefs. And yes.
Wow.
Anyway, and so then my question is more to Representative Smith. Mm-hmm. My husband and I are just finishing a very litigious situation with attorneys. So we've been fighting the truth, and we're having a hard time making that distinction. You know, having them understand that there's right and there's wrong. You're talking about our legislators, the people whom we elected. How, and they just because they have the R behind them doesn't mean they're conservative. How can we get along with them until there's a new election cycle? How do we get along with these people, and can we do anything in the interim?
Maybe I could let Representative Lentz answer that. But it's not a matter of getting along. You got to get rid of them. The compromise we make is always in their direction. And so if you get involved with a legislative session and you're up there, it's just like what's going on with the Board of Security right now. You know, we're going to compromise. But what we end up doing is moving further to the left.
One thing that I thought was really fascinating as that video was going through that textbook about the emotions, the social values of picking that more inflammatory word, I immediately thought of a representative out of Missoula. That's her. I always thought she acted like a first grader. Well, she does. Because facts. And this is the scary thing. This is something that's hard for me to get my head around, is facts a lot of times don't count. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, for myself, I want those facts. I want to know what's backing this up and why I should vote this way. A lot of times in the legislature, I knew the way to vote because I felt like something was deceptive and I wasn't getting the full picture, and I knew how I wanted to vote. But they're running, the opposition, the proponents for these kind of issues are running on emotion, on fear, and not on the facts and for lack of a better word, I guess the truth. And that's something I'm still trying to get my head around. And keep that in mind when we're discussing the subject.
Yeah, truth is not popular, is it? Ma'am?
I'm Shaloy Lowe from Laurel High School.
Oh, yeah.
I just retired a couple weeks ago. So I just wanted to ask you a question about the time frame here. Mm-hmm. Like last year, we were introduced to Common Core, mm-hmm. and we got the booklets about them and some of the standards and so forth about how the curriculum is going to look. But this last year, we got to keep with our ACE consortium, which is ACE curriculum. So, but this summer, I'm not involved, as you see, but this summer, I think we're gearing up to get going, hit the ground running on in 2013-14. So there will be a bunch of money expended this summer for the Pearson curriculum or whatever curriculum it is. So I just want to know if you have an idea, your finger on the pulse of all of Montana as to are all of us in this together and we're all going to start this upcoming fall? Because that would make a difference as far as people being willing to junk it all if they've spent a lot of money on it.
There are various stages of implementation around the state. Believe it or not, one of the areas that's most forward as far as implementing it is Kalispell. They got on board right after the standards were implemented. There are a lot of areas that just now are hearing about it haven't implemented anything yet. Although the testing is supposed to start rolling out next spring, it won't be 100% because they won't have gotten all of the districts on board. And some of them don't even have the broadband to be able to get onto the computers. So there will be money wasted and expended on this. Eventually the curriculum will have to be purchased. And Pearson is right now traveling around the state working with various groups on that.
We'll take two more questions. You've been a great audience. And as you're going out tonight, we have some good literature here. But Roger has a question, and we may take one more.
I'm just going to say morals. Is it good morals, or is it the federal money that's in play here? And where does this head down the road for an expense? It's going to be huge. We're falling for something that's setting us up for more troubles. And my question is, do we just need to move, and it's how we move?
Well, part of what I put in the petition is that we would actually look for a way, and Representative Smith touched on this, about taking federal dollars. I propose that we actually set up a citizen legislator group that will start looking at ways to back us out of all federal funding over a five-year period. That's just a suggestion. But I think it's a start, and if we can start building support for that and get enough people interested, then we can bring things back to our state level and get them back under our own control where it belongs.
Grassroots is powerful.
It is extremely powerful.
And we will be around, and Deborah will be around for a while, so you can engage her.
Yes, thank you. Debbie, I'm a former government school teacher and a former government school parent and a 20-year homeschool parent. I've been studying this issue for a very long time. And I'd like to say, so what if we end this? So what? There'll just be another thing on down the road. It never ends. They will just repackage it, represent it, and call it something else, and it'll go on and on and on. The only way to ever really end this is to end the government school monopoly.
Uh-huh.
So,
absolutely.
My question to you, I have several ideas on how to do this myself. I'd like to know if you've thought about this. Do you have any ideas on how to end the monopoly? Have you thought about this? Because that's the only way to finally end this evil.
You're absolutely right. Part of that monopoly has called me evil, mm-hmm. That I was destroying 40 to 50 years of their hard work, and that I'm a terrorist.
Right.
So obviously school choice is one of those things that threatens them. But this gets away from school choice.
Right.
And so the only way to do it is to reassert our state's rights, for sure, get us out of the federal system.
Yes. Yes.
That is the first step. And we've got to have people educated on how that works, why it's important, and there are a whole lot of other things. But I agree, we have to break that monopoly.
The children are still prisoners. I mean, they're there. We can't change anything fast enough to rescue them. So have any of you heard of Rick Jor and the number of times he introduced to repeal compulsory attendance? 4 times. John Taylor Gatto called that the linchpin. I'd like everybody to consider it and think about it. Repealing compulsory attendance, I think, is the key, because it's the only way that's going to open up the floodgates to real liberty and a real free market.
And most of the bills that we see up there are to extend compulsory attendance
right.
through age 18
right.
and now 19 and
right. So anyway, I just wanted
thank
to...
Thank you.
Okay, thank
yeah.
you.
If you think this is a five-year battle, you're dreaming. We're going to end it with that.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Deborah, for
you're
being
welcome.
With us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.